Been going through a sermon series all about the Holy Spirit. I love when we talk about Holy Spirit. I think we should talk about Holy Spirit more. I feel like he's overlooked a little bit in our church services, and he's one of my favorite things to speak about. I've been on staff of YWAM for about 20 years, and Holy Spirit is the subject I get asked to speak most on in schools of worship around the world, and so it's just a passion of mine to continue our series on Holy Spirit this morning. Just a quick overview. I want to remind us that the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he, and the Holy Spirit is a person, not a person as in a human, but person, meaning that he has the qualities of personality. He is not a stoic force that can be conjured up like the force in Star Wars or like in Street Fighter when you go, Hadouken, like that. He is not chi. He is not an impersonal force, okay? He is the third person of the Godhead. He is the first person in the Godhead mentioned in Scripture. In Genesis 1:3 says, "And God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the darkness, hovering over the waters." So Holy Spirit is the first person mentioned of the Godhead in Scriptures, and that's a pretty important fact. So I'm really glad we're continuing our sermon series on Holy Spirit. Just a quick overview of what we've been going through. Ryan's first week on this, we spoke about Spirit and truth. So he spoke about and reminded us that as believers, we're supposed to be both people of Spirit and truth. We are to be people who are engaged in the truth of the Word of God, where we go deep into Scripture, we study Scripture, we understand who he is, we know the truth of who he is, and the foundation is the Word of God. But we're also to be people of the Spirit, meaning that in the Christian experience, we're not just to know about God, we're supposed to know God. God has torn the veil through the blood of Jesus that we can boldly enter into the throne room, the Holy of Holies, and have relationship with him through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers the Word of God and makes it life and breath and transforms us from the inside out so that it's not just head knowledge, but it lands in our hearts. Amen? So Ryan also next talked about how are we filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are filled with the Spirit, but we're also to be continually filled with the Spirit so that we're overflowing with his presence and his life and his gifts and his fruit. And last week, Ryan gave us a great message on hearing the voice of God, that the point of the Christian experience is actually to have relationship with him. So how do you, in a relationship, there's communication. So how do we talk to God? How do we hear his voice? How do we hear his voice for the direction of our life? How do we hear that still small voice that says, "I love you, you're my child"? And hearing the voice of God is essential when it comes to our Christian experience. And this morning, we're going to continue our talk, and we're going to be talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Title of my message this morning is called Focus on the Fruit. Focus on the Fruit. I think sometimes when we think of great men and women of God, I think of healing evangelists. We think of great men and women who have done amazing miracles for God, signs, wonders, miracles, dead raised, healing, all this kind of stuff. But I want to argue this morning that it is the fruits of the Spirit are just as supernatural as the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, Jesus says that the world will know that we are his disciples, not because we heal the sick, cast out demons, but because of our love for one another. Jesus himself says that the world will know him, and the world will know that we are of him by our fruit, by our love for one another. So I want to argue this morning that our focus should be on the fruit. Our focus of our life should be on, are we loving our neighbors? Are we loving our family? Are we walking in the peace of the Holy Spirit? Are we walking in the joy of the Holy Spirit? Because this is the sign of true believers. Jesus himself also said, many, many of you will cast out demons in my name. You'll heal the sick in my name. But on that day of judgment, I'll say, I never knew you. the fruit of the Spirit was not displayed in your life. So Paul says that we are to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So it's good. We should be eagerly desiring spiritual gifts. But the greatest way that we can give God glory is to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. So let's dive in. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and this is interesting, this is all singular. It's one fruit, not many. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So, how many of you know, though, knowing the fruit is not really the problem? It's living the fruit. It's having the fruit displayed in our lives on a daily, weekly basis when somebody irritates you at work or your family or in the surf or wherever it is. Living the fruit is the problem. If just knowing the fruit was the answer, then the sermon would be done. We could all just go home because I could just teach you a little song to memorize. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. I could just teach you a little song and then we'd all be good and we can go home. That's not, the issue is not knowing what the fruits are. The issue is actually living them out on a daily basis. Now, you're in good company though, because Paul himself wrestled with the exact same issue. Paul in Romans says, he has this long paragraph, and it's a confusing paragraph, but basically he says, I do what I don't want to do, I don't do what I should do, and why do I do what I don't want to do, but I do what I do, but I don't. Oh, and then at the end he goes, oh, wretched man that I am. He just loses it, and he's like, who will save me, okay? So if you have that same struggle in your life, how many of you can relate to Paul? I do what I don't want to do, but I don't do what I do. And you know the fruits of the Spirit. You know you should be walking in love at all time. You know you should be walking in joy, in patience, and kindness, and gentleness. You're in really good company. But Paul gives us the answers. That's what we're going to get into. And the answer may seem counterintuitive, but Paul repeats himself over and over and over what the answer is. So about 7 years ago, me and my family had absolutely a miracle story where we were able to purchase 1 acre of land in Halualoa, which is where we now live. This is a miracle because we were missionaries for 15 years up until that point, can barely pay our rent. How many Wyromers in the room? All right, so monthly support, and then somebody forgets to give that monthly support, and you're just like, oh my gosh, how are we going to pay our bills? Okay, that was 15 years of our life. Never thought I would own anything in Hawaii, but absolutely miracles came. And part of the vision of the property was I didn't want a property that was going to be just beautiful. I wanted a property that was going to produce. I wanted it to produce fruit and vegetables and sustenance for my family, okay? So how many of you would consider yourself like a legit farmer? You like own a ranch. In Kona, it's a popular thing. In the first service we had. Okay. I'm not a rancher. Okay. Let me, how many of you built a garden during COVID? Yeah. Okay. So, how many of you kept your garden after COVID? A few of you. Okay. I went over to my friend's house the other day and he had his, you know, like everybody during the lockdown went to Lowe's and put some 2x4s together and made a little garden, right? And his garden was just overflowing with weeds and it didn't last very long. Anybody who's ever tried to grow food understands that it's a lot of work. When I bought my property, at first, I had to grade it. So I got a big D9 tractor in there. We broke apart the hillside. We moved dirt. We separated the dirt from the rocks to create a place where I can grow my kalo and my banana trees and my ulu trees that I planted. Sometimes I had to go out there by hand and remove the rocks. Then once I planted my plants, I had to go out there by hand and pull up all the weeds. When I had to go to my friend's house, I grabbed the cakey banana shoots and I planted them. I put fertilizer in the ground. I made sure that they were watered. Then they got bugs on them. And so then I had to get neem oil and I sprayed the bananas with neem oil because I didn't want to use chemicals. And then they got bunchy top virus. So then I had to cut them all down again. And then, okay, you know that growing food takes a lot of work. And then it's not only a lot of work. I go on a trip for about a week. I'm just gone a week. I come back. My kalo is all gone. And all the Hawaiians in the room, you should be really proud of me. My kalo grew to like 5 feet. I was getting corums out of there that were like this big. We were eating taro all the time, ulu, bananas, everything. I go for a trip. 1 week, all of my kalo is gone. All my banana trees have fallen over. And I'm like, what the heck? And I live in Halu'aloa, so how many of you know what it was? Pigs. Demon, evil pigs. Oh my gosh. I hate pigs. Let me just tell you this. They are Satan himself. I hate them so much. And they came in, they ate all of my kalo. They ate the leaves. They ate the stalk. They ate the corm. They ate everything. I don't know how they didn't die, because if you don't cook, I don't know how many of you ever not cook your taro enough and you get itchy throat. It's because there's like fiberglass, basically, inside the leaves and inside the taro root, right? And the pigs ate it all. They didn't die. I wish they would have died, but they didn't. So my banana trees are now falling over, and all the work that I'd put into cultivating this garden to produce fruit was then destroyed by the demon pigs. Now, why do I tell you this story? Because it's fun, and I need to vent about my hatred for pigs. That's first and foremost. But secondly, I want to ask you something. I did a lot of work in my garden, but who grew the fruit? Did I grow the fruit? Well, not really. I did a lot of work to create an ecosystem so that the fruit can be produced. I moved dirt around. I made sure it was watered. But do I have any control of when the sun rises or sets? Do I have any control over when the rain falls? Do I have any control of what that plant is going to do? No, I can cultivate the soil, but I will never make the plant grow. The Hebrew word for spirit in the Old Testament is the word ruach. And ruach translates to spirit, but it also translates to wind. It translates to breath. When Jesus breathed on his disciples and the Holy Spirit came unto them, in the Psalms it says, the breath of all the Almighty gives us life. This imagery of breath and wind is this unseen force that gives life to all things. And that was the Hebrew understanding of spirit. So I can't make, all I can do is push the soil around, make sure that the plant is, but I don't make it grow. Only the Spirit of God makes that kalo grow. Only the Spirit of God will produce the bananas from the banana tree. In the same way in our life, the fruits of the Spirit are a supernatural, is a supernatural occurrence that only the Holy Spirit can produce in our life. What we do is we cultivate our hearts. We tend our hearts. We pull the weeds. We have our spiritual disciplines where we wake up and we read scripture and we pray. And you're here in church today, which is a great step in cultivating your heart, cultivating the soil of your spirit to produce fruit. But it's only the work of the Spirit that will allow you and allow your life to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and give glory to God through how you live. It's only the Spirit of God that can release the fruits of the Spirit. Number two, though, in my analogy, the pigs represent the flesh. Paul says in Galatians 5, 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, or they're at war with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The next thing we have to understand is that no matter whether you like it or not, you are at war. You are at war with the fleshly desires, with the lusts of the flesh. And I want to clarify flesh, what Paul is talking about flesh. He's not talking about that your physical bodies are evil. Because when God rested on the seventh day, when he made creation, he rested and he said, it is good. But how many of you know we live in a broken world? We have what Paul is talking is the fleshly lust of the flesh, the sinful desires that are constantly at war with the Spirit inside of us. The lust of the flesh are the evil demon pigs who The flesh is always hungry, is always ready to steal, and always ready to devour and kill what the Spirit has cultivated in your life. So, how do we defeat this enemy? Paul doesn't say to pray harder. He doesn't say to give more. He doesn't say to study harder. He doesn't say get up earlier in the morning. He doesn't say work harder. It seems counterintuitive, but he simply says, walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. When we walk by the Spirit, we enjoy his presence. We remind ourselves that he's near to us. We enjoy his peace. We talk with him. We're aware of his presence at all times. One of my favorite books I've ever read in my walk with the Lord is a book called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence was a monk in the 16th century, and the book is a compilation of his letters that he was writing to a friend and talking about his spiritual experiences in the monastery and how Brother Lawrence had cultivated a lifestyle of just being aware of the closeness and the joy of the presence of God in his life in every area. He taught himself, and he was trying to teach his friend about the beauty of recognizing the Holy Spirit while he's scrubbing the floor of the monastery, recognizing the Holy Spirit presence while he's doing the dishes, recognizing the Holy Spirit's presence while he's cleaning the toilet, recognizing the Holy Spirit's presence even in the most menial of life's tasks. But that he had found that he can still have the fruits of the Spirit. He can still have joy and love and peace and patience and kindness doing some of the most menial tasks as he reminds himself that the presence of God is always with him, has never left him. The presence of God is not just with us when we come to church, not just with us when we worship, not just with us when we're doing spiritual activities, but in all areas of life. Brother Lawrence has found joy in recognizing the presence of God in every area of life. One of my favorite quotes by him, he says, "The most holy and important practice in the spiritual life is the presence of God. That is, every moment to take great pleasure that God is with you." That is, every moment to take great pleasure that God is with you. Who you walk with will determine who you become as well. My dad used to always tell me this, who your friends are, that's who you will become. I tell my kids this. Who your friends are, that's who you're going to become. Who you surround yourself is who you will become. So I want to ask you this morning, who are you walking with? Who are the people who influence you the most? And I want to remind the males in the room that Joe Rogan is not your pastor. Dang it. While I was studying this, I was like, you know what? It's true. I have a lot of friends who listen to this guy. If you don't know who he is, you're a female. And Joe Rogan is every male listens to him, okay? And I confess, like, if he has Elon Musk on or something, I'll listen to that because he's an interesting interviewer, you know? But I have some Christian friends who listen to every single podcast. And I just want to remind you, if that's Joe Rogan's not your pastor. To him who has ears. All right. Whoever you listen to the most is how you will think. Whatever you look at, you will look like. Jesus says in John 15, 4 through 5, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The answer to victory over the flesh is simply to remain in the practice of the presence of God. Philippians 4:6 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. What you think about, you will become. This is super deep. I came up with this on my own, so I'm really proud of it, okay? What you focus on is what you will see.
Whoa.
What you focus on is what you will see. All right, I was reading this scientific article as I was studying for this, and there is a system in our brains called the reticular activating system, or RAS for short. RAS is what's at work in our brains when you go to Costco and you buy a 32-degree black shirt, and then you walk around town and you notice that every single male in the whole town has a black 32-degree shirt, okay? It's when you go to Ross, girls, and you buy the dress and you think you're so cute and unique, and then you see 10 other girls who bought the same exact dress from Ross. It's when you never thought about a Toyota Prius, and then you buy a Toyota Prius, and now you see 100 of them all around town. Okay? So RAS, or the reticular activating system, simply filters your reality according to the parameters that you find valuable. Basically, your reality is constantly being shaped by what you focus on. The more you focus on something, the more your RAS will enhance it cognitively. Paul is not only spiritually true, but he's scientifically accurate. That what you focus on, what you fill your mind with, what you find value in, that is what you will become, and that is what you will focus on, and that is what you will see. This article goes on to say, the RAS filters the world through the guidelines you set for it, and those guidelines are shaped by your past experiences and belief. Thus, when you experience something in the past that led you to believe that you're inadequate, for instance, the RAS will filter every experience through that lens, and it'll seek out information that proves of your inadequacy. What you focus on, that you will become. What you focus on is what you will see. Living a life that is overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit starts with surrender and is cultivated in faith. Surrender is really a prerequisite to walking with the Holy Spirit, because first we have to surrender to his lordship in our life, because he is Lord of your life. Your flesh has been crucified. You have been crucified with Christ, and you have been raised again in him. You have new DNA. You are a new creation. And the first and foremost prerequisite to walking with the Holy Spirit is that we live a life surrendered to his will, surrendered to his voice. The next is faith. Faith is not only worked out in the gifts of the Spirit. A lot of times we see that. That's very easy for us. You have to have a faith for healing, a faith for miracles, faith for for supernatural provision or anything of the supernatural gifts. But faith is just as active in the fruits of the Spirit as it is in the gifts of the Spirit. Because you have to believe that God wants you to have joy. You have to believe that God will give you the ability to love your neighbor. You have to believe that God will give you the ability to love your wife. God will give you the ability to love your enemy. God will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. God will give you kindness and joy and allow you to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Faith is what pleases God, and faith is what enables the fruits of the Spirit to be activated in your life. Sometimes we think that we have to do house cleaning in order to make room for the Holy Spirit. But Paul says that the answer is to walk in the Spirit, to walk surrendered and full of faith. And I want to close. I want to go back to Genesis 1:3. I think, I'll speak for myself, I don't want to speak for you, but a lot of times, so I am a new creation. My heart, I want to operate in the gifts and fruit of the Spirit, okay? I want to love the world around me. I want to be a display. I want to give God glory, the glory that he deserves through the fruit of the Spirit displayed in my life. But then I also understand that there's war wrestling inside of me between the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, and the desires of the flesh. And a lot of times we can feel like we need to clean house first. I need to work on that where I'm not being patient, okay? I need to work on my irritation. I need to work on whatever it is in my life. I got to clean house first so that the Holy Spirit can come in. I want us to think a little bit differently. I kind of want to hopefully switch your paradigm this morning. Genesis 1:3 says that the Spirit of God, it paints this amazing picture of before creation, where there's chaos and darkness. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, waters always in Hebrew symbolizes darkness, chaos, and so what you have a picture here is not Holy Spirit waiting to come into a perfect environment. You have Holy Spirit hovering in the darkness. You have Holy Spirit hovering in the chaos. You have Holy Spirit hovering in your questions. Holy Spirit's hovering over the war that's going on inside of you. I want to challenge you this morning to let God into the darkness. I want to challenge you this morning that the place where you feel the most chaos in your life is the place where the Holy Spirit wants to meet you the most. The place in your life where you feel where there's the most questions, the struggle, that's where the Holy Spirit is hovering. And he's hovering in that place, waiting for the spoken word of Jesus, let there be light. And he moves in power and he transforms the chaos of our heart into beauty. And he transforms the darkness of our hearts and in our lives to light. He transforms us from the inside out. But I think it first starts with a recognition that he's in that dark place. That's where you're going to find him. sometimes we think we have to be perfect in order to meet with him, and it's the exact opposite. He wants to meet with you in those places where you have darkness and chaos in your own life. And from that place, he produces fruit, and he produces life, and he produces light, and he produces joy, and he produces kindness, and he produces gentleness, and all of the fruits of the Spirit begin to overflow from our lives as we simply walk with him, as we simply find out that we enjoy his presence. And the psalm says that at God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. The answer to the lust of the flesh and sin in our life is not to focus on those things. I have to get rid of all. The answer that Paul talks about is simply to enjoy the presence of God. To find joy in walking with the Holy Spirit every day, whether you're surfing or whether you're planting your garden or you're working or you're cleaning a toilet. I want to finish with another quote by Brother Lawrence. He says, "There is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Those only can comprehend it who practice and experience it." Say that one more time. "There is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Those only can comprehend it who practice and experience it." Let me pray. Lord, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would empower us this morning to practice and experience your presence on a daily basis. God, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you move, that you are living, breathing, and active, and you move in our hearts and in our lives. I ask that you would teach us this morning on how to practice your presence, how to walk with you, how to walk in your Spirit, God. God, we just repent of any ways where we have filled our minds with the world. Would you empower us, God, to focus on the fruit and give you all the glory that you deserve through how we live our lives? With love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In the name of Jesus, amen.